Called by love, we care for the world. Called by love, we connect to each other. Called by love, we gather to worship. Called by love, we answer with our lives. Good afternoon and welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Janice. Please join me in the call to worship in your bulletin and on the screen. Your responses, God calls us into community. In a world of competition and division,
God calls us into community.
Even though it is hard and messy,
God calls us into community.
As a pastor and a congregation,
God calls us into community.
For our sake and the world's,
God calls us into community.
Right here, right now. Our opening hymn is, "You are salt for the earth, O people. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit."
Please be seated. Our prayer begins with a little bit of relative silence. In the quiet, we invite all our saints into this time and place. Those who have fed our spirits, shaped our faith, showed us the love of God. Let us pray. Living God, in these challenging days, you call us together. Breathing side by side, we feel your spirit moving through us. Joining our voices, we make the walls of empire tremble. bringing our hearts together, all of our lives are changed. All our differences brought together and bring love and justice to the world as we seek to follow the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.
Our first scripture this afternoon is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. The prophet speaks words of promise from God to God's people. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham and Sarah, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth, and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Our second reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. Luke writes, A dispute also arose among the disciples as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them. And our next hymn is Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant? You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Thank you. You may be seated. I have the microphone now. You sit down. She is regretting this choice. Beloved, will you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, we ask now for your spirit to descend on this place or rise up into this place, that we might have a message from you, that you might bless the what I have prepared and turn it into what you need and what this church needs and what this world needs. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so preaching is just a strange thing, and we need to call that out, okay? Some people wrote some stuff a whole lot a long time ago, right? Never imagining that we would be parceling through each word, meticulously translating it, looking for meaning, looking for hope, looking for something today that would carry us through. And then I take all of that and go into my study / Starbucks and try to figure out what is God saying to us. Now you, don't think that you just then receive what I give you and take it. No. You have work to do, because your job is now to sift through all of my nonsense and figure out what is real and true for you and what can be easily and should be forgotten. Will you do this with me and for me?
Yes.
Okay. So what is happening today? First, today is one of installation. Well, that just conjures all kinds of, okay. So, okay, we gotta build this here. What is an installation? What is something this week that you have installed?
A cabinet?
A shower head. We're gonna go, a toilet? Wow, okay, I was going for like light bulb or like a battery. Okay, but consider each of those, even the shower head, even the toilet, okay. It's not about the thing you install, right? It's not about the battery. It's about what TV shows you can watch now that the remote works again, right? It's not about the light bulb. It's about what the light now lets you see. So today we install Cindy, but this is about God. This is about what God can do, has already begun, and will continue to do in this house. Today is a day about the First Congregational Church of Natick. And the work of the church is to give good news to the people. A lot of us today, in these days, are concerned for the world. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about your politics. That's you. That's yours. But as Christians, as followers of the way of Jesus, there are real things that we need to pay attention to. There are people who are being made more vulnerable while others hoard resources. There are people who are being cast out because some have a narrow and narrowing view of who belongs. The root of all of this, I believe, is a twisted version of salvation. That one person, that one party, that one solution can save us all. That is the work of Herod. That is the work of Caesar. And it is precisely the nonsense that Jesus came to upend. We do not need one, we need many. Jesus' ministry was never about him and the amazing things that he could do. It was and is today about what we can do in his name, by his example, through his love. And we need the many together, crashing into each other, learning from each other, fractious and obnoxious, with good days and bad days, with moments of profound grace and curiosity and loveliness, and exhausted moments where we just cry out in pain and grief and suffering and want someone, anyone, to notice. As this world around us unravels and things tilt ever more towards Herod and in favor of Caesar and empire, I find myself asking a simple question, but a serious one. What can I do? I was here in January for Epiphany, and I know that was the question on your heart too. What can I do? And the more I have prayed on it, the more I have thought about it, I have an answer. Yeah, yeah. You often get that from a preacher, right? A really clear answer. This. Do this. Do this. Do church. Gather people up. People like you and people unlike you. People who agree with you and people who absolutely and significantly do not. People who love you. Yes, well, people who drive you batty and people who speak your language. If we want to save this country, if we want to save this dream, if we want to build a better kingdom, the souls of our neighbors need church. They need synagogues. They need temples and mosques. They need Elks clubs. They need Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They need community, sacred, holy, beloved, testing, strong community. I know many of us are tempted to rush to the front lines and try to rescue those who are in peril, the poor and huddled masses, gather them in from the throes of their despair. And that is good work. That is necessary work. That is Jesus' work. But our job as church is to partner with those social service agencies who know how to do it best, those community advocacy groups who have been doing it longer. And we cannot neglect. I'm going out on a limb here to say that our primary work is this. It is church. It is community. Because what we need now is a robust community where we all hang out together. People need church. So your job is to be church first. I don't know about you, but when things are hard, when I am tired and sad, and scared. And lately, I am tired and sad and scared. I want to put it all on God. I want to blame God for it happening, and I want God to make it right. The prophet Isaiah lived in a time such as this. He wrestled with war and disloyal monarchs. And by grace and or wisdom, Isaiah wrestled out loud. So we have the gift of his fear, of his doubt, of his confidence, of his pattern. And this is his faith. This is his discipline. You are my servant, says the Most High. I have chosen you and will not cast you off. Do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. I never realized God was right-handed until just now. That's the upholding hand. Sorry, I don't need, at any rate, we're not gonna go there, just stop distracting me. Okay. Isaiah's good news is not rescue. It is not salvation, it is not escape. It is companionship. Accompaniment. It is strength and help. It is support while we do the work. God is not going to do this work for us. God desires to do it with us. God is going to equip us and run alongside us. The world out there is increasingly convenient, and convenience is seductive. We live in a world that is smooth and frictionless. We no longer need to be bored in the line at the grocery store. We can just pull up our phones. You no longer need to know what your next movie is because Netflix has 3 easy suggestions for when you've finished binging Downton Abbey, right? You don't need to know what to do next because the society that we have structured, the tools, the mechanisms, the devices have given it all towards us. And we have been lulled into a quiet that is unholy and unhelpful. We don't have to exert any energy to get what we want. It is made ready and prepackaged for us. I don't know that God has ever answered any prayer of mine with, "Here, let me take care of that for you." Because God isn't in the business of smoothing things out. God is in the friction and in the challenge, supporting us and upholding us. Because you know how you get things smooth? It's not by rubbing another smooth stone over it. It is by scraping with sandpaper. Yes, on this glorious day, we celebrate your pastor, we celebrate your shared ministry, and this is what I'm telling you. Your pastor, at her best, will be sandpaper. That is her job. Let her do it. This is the leadership that Jesus gives us. Not lordship, not greatness, but service. Not a savior who comes and does it all on our behalf, but one who gathers us in into a beloved community. This is the good news of the gospel, that we are drawn up into the work of building a better world. And it starts here, it starts in this house, it starts among you, and it starts now. Amen.
For Pastor Cindy's request, my prayer of intercession is going to be only in Spanish. Dios de amor, nos reunimos hoy para expresar nuestra sincera gratitud por el ministerio de nuestra pastora Cindy Worthington Berry. Tú la conoces desde el vientre de su madre, y gracias por llamarla a guiarnos por las innumerables maneras en que ha nutrido y ha guiado a nuestra congregación y a nuestra comunidad de Natick. Ahora te pedimos que la bendigas con sabiduría para tomar decisiones importantes y guiar a tu congregación con amor y delicadeza. Que la fortalezcas en momentos difíciles, que no desfallezca ante las adversidades y que siempre pueda contar con tu apoyo. Que la guíes en su ministerio, que pueda discernir tu voluntad y actuar de acuerdo con tu palabra. Que su corazón se llene de tu amor y que pueda guiar a esta congregación con amor y compasión como un buen pastor y siga siendo parte de un liderazgo en Natick para reconfortar a los más vulnerables. Que la protejas de todo mal y peligro, tanto físico como espiritual, y que pueda continuar sirviéndote con alegría y entusiasmo. Que la bendigas a ella y a su familia, que puedan disfrutar de tu paz y prosperidad. Que la congregación sea una en oración y apoyo a nuestra pastora Cindy, para que pueda llevar a cabo su ministerio con éxito en nuestra congregación y en nuestro pueblo de Natick. Que pueda encontrar paz en medio de la tormenta y que sepa que no está sola en su camino. Que pueda encontrar esperanza en ti y que sepa que tu amor es eterno. Oramos todas estas cosas que tu Espíritu ha puesto en nuestros corazones, confiando en tu bondad, amor y poder que nos fueron manifestados por medio de tu Hijo Jesucristo para lograr lo que solos no podemos y para establecer tu gloria para que todos la vean. Te pedimos, Señor, que escuches nuestra oración y que bendigas a nuestra pastora Cindy. Amén.
Cindy instructed me to check the mic so she wouldn't have to run up here and do it.
We're just trying to get her steps in. The Central Mass Association of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ greets you in the name of Jesus Christ, the head of the church in heaven and on earth. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
Let us look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was waiting endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has called Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry as its settled pastor and teacher, and respectfully requests that the Central Massachusetts Association install her as in this ministry among us, according to the faith and the order of the United Church of Christ.
The Central Massachusetts Association has reviewed the request of First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ. We have prayerfully examined Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and we are pleased to install her as your settled pastor and teacher. Woo! Cindy, servant of God, we invite you to come forward as a sign of your acceptance of the call to this office. Installation is the action of an association of the United Church of Christ in cooperation with a local church. Installation confirms and celebrates the covenantal relationship among a local church, its pastor and teacher, and the United Church of Christ. Installation is a sign that these covenantal partners are committed to share mutually in the mission of the United Church of Christ and of the Ecumenical Church.
Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. We beg you, our brothers and sisters, to pay proper respect to those who work among you, who guide and instruct you in the Christian life. Treat them with the greatest respect and love because of the work they do. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, our sister, to warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with all. And I'll add to Paul's words, I guess, be sandpaper and rub off our rough edges so that the way can be made smooth for us. Amen. We urge you all to see that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but at all times make it your aim to do good to one another and to all people. Be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants for you in your life, in and through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Dear friends, First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, has declared that having gathered under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it has called Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry to minister in this place as settled pastor and teacher, and that it now receives her as appointed by God for this ministry. The Central Massachusetts Association of the United Church of Christ has declared that she has met all the necessary conditions for installation to this office. Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, seeing that you are called to ordain ministry by the grace of God, and that First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, has been led to call you as its settled pastor and teacher, are you willing to enter this covenant with its members who are one in Christ with us in the Central Mass Association?
Don't go anywhere. I am willing, and I promise to serve this church faithfully, preaching and teaching the Word of God, administering the sacraments, and fulfilling the pastoral office according to the faith and order of the United Church of Christ.
Amen. members of First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, will those who are able to please rise and affirm your covenant with your pastor? You can rise physically or in spirit.
Let the people say, we, the members
of First Congregational Church of Natick, United
Members of the Central Massachusetts Association, and that's all of you in Natick, along with everybody else from the Central Mass Association, will those who are able rise again in physically or in spirit and affirm your covenant with First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, and its pastor and teacher.
We, the members of the Central Mass Association of the United Church of Christ, gather with you, the people and the pastor and teacher of First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, as a sign of our covenant and in celebration of our mutual ministry in Christ's name. And at this time, I'm going to invite you, those who can, to raise your hand in blessing.
Blessing time. I need hands particularly from the playground for the blessing.
All right. Yes. Please raise your hands, and we're going to say a blessing and pray together. Loving God, who calls us to serve and minister to those we encounter on life's road, help us to keep the promises we have made together this day. Help us to remain steadfast in our faith, especially in these difficult and challenging times. Help us to be fruitful in the good work we strive to do as people of faith, as people living, doing, and being your church. Please bless Cindy in her ministry in this time and in this place. Bless this congregation and all who have gathered here this day in your name. Please pour out your spirit upon us so that all are filled with energy, with peace, with love, compassion, hope. And please, O loving God, let us feel that connection of spirit in all that we do so that we know you are present with us in all of our work, in all of our service. In your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the Central Massachusetts Association of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ, I declare you, Cindy Worthington Berry, duly installed as settled pastor and teacher of First Congregational Church of Natick United Church of Christ. We have a certificate here that affirms and celebrates this covenantal milestone in our mutual ministry and service in the United Church of Christ. For the glory of God. Thanks be to God. You may sit down.
On the way down here, Marcia asked me how long I was going to talk. We're going to be here a while. No, seriously. Some people may not know this, but I spent 25 years at Westboro State Hospital as a director of pastoral care and clinical pastoral education, which is a clinical training program that Andover Newton had their students go through, and Cindy was one of my students early on. I think it was back around 1995.
Exactly
1995, so 30 years ago. And when I heard that, and when I heard the church was calling Cindy Worthington Berry, I was, You know, I think I had a Cindy Worthington at some point. And then I saw you, and I said, I remember her. I remembered your smile, is what I remembered. So, we prayed for you. We prayed for a settled pastor. We were looking for a while. That was kind of a complicated process by reason of pandemic and whatever else God had on his mind. And God sent you to us. Welcome. And thank you for saying yes. You know, this church traces its history back to 1651, and then one way or another, we sort of ended up here. I think the last pastor of the Praying Indians, which is the church in South Natick that John Elliott founded, was a guy named Stephen Badger. The first pastor of this church was a fellow named Oliver Peabody. And what I was going to do after church today is I was going to go out to the plaque and count the names of all the pastors and give you the number. But the plaque is in Doug Hanna's basement, so that's, you know. So I couldn't even guess, but there have been a lot. But I have one question that I want to start with. Do you have a good, reliable pair of shoes?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Okay, that's good, because all the shoes that were worn by all those other people have left the building. Wear your own shoes. They're good shoes. Having said that, I'm just going to touch on a few things that you generally touch on in a charge to the pastor and talk a little bit about what's expected of you in terms of preaching and teaching, what's expected of you in terms of pastoral leadership, what's expected of you in terms of pastoral care. And then I'll have a word or two to say about self-care, which nobody ever said anything to me about that when I was installed or ordained, because back then nobody knew about self-care. I don't have a lot to say about any of it, but something to say. I always like what Martin Luther said about preaching. He said, if you preach the gospel in all aspects, with the exception of the issues which deal specifically with your time, you are not preaching the gospel. We're trying to find our way in a difficult, frightening world. Terrifying. I'm like a moth with a light, though. You know, I tell myself, don't fly too near CNN, and I'm like, but you've got to preach to that. It's there. They say there are three characteristics of good preaching: truth, clarity, and passion. I read that and it was like, oh no. What? How do you arrive at that? How do you rise to that? Anybody who thinks they're speaking the truth is lying to you. Anybody these days who thinks they have any clarity, not so much. There's a lot of passion out there. Some of it's good, some of it is not good. So in your preaching, I would encourage you to do this. Seek the truth, and help us seek the truth. Help us find the way toward the truth. Clarity. Help us get clearer. Help us to remain as clear as we possibly can about the issues that matter in this broken world. and let the passion of the Spirit inform your teaching and your preaching. As far as teaching goes, Socrates said, I can't teach anybody anything. I can only make them think. You have an extraordinary congregation here in many respects. You've got the two brightest men in Natick that I know of. Doug Hanna and Lane McDonough. And then there's a lot of other really smart people in here, accomplished people in here. But we still have questions. And we don't take answers easily. Because we're smart enough to know that we don't know. So don't feel like you have to fill us like we're an empty pail. Just light the fire. Kindle in us that longing to learn, to grow in the faith, to grow in the understanding of what's required of us. Pastoral leadership. As Maya Angelou said, a wise woman wishes to be no one's enemy. A wise woman is never the victim. Be strong. Nelson Mandela said that a leader is like a shepherd that guides from the back. And in that flock, many will know the way and will kind of run on ahead. Let them go. Then there's the rest of us that kind of stumbling along, need some prodding, need some encouragement, do it in a way that we think we're doing it ourselves until we can do it ourselves. Pastoral care. Simone Weil said, attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. There's nothing that we long for more than to be seen. You said it this morning. We're not always going to let you see it, but we do need to be seen, and we long to be seen. Help us to see ourselves in all that we are, in our strength, and in our frailties. Help us find our courage and acknowledge our fear. Help us find our faith, acknowledge our doubt. Help us find our love and acknowledge our bitterness. Pay attention to all of it. So I was ordained a long time ago. What is self-care? I think the feminists came up with self-care. And they discovered, or they remembered, recalled an ancient wisdom. Justice in the life and conduct of the state is possible only as it first resides in the souls of citizens. That was Plato. I haven't heard this for a while, but they used to say, the person is political. The feminists understood that the regime will only be as good as the people in it. It's important to cultivate yourself, to take time to reflect, to think about all that you struggle with, all that you rejoice in. Self-care doesn't necessarily mean jogging. Self-care is prayer. Self-care is reading. Self-care, as Annie Lamott has said, is remembering that most everything works when you unplug it and plug it back in. Sometimes you have to unplug. Restore your soul. Do things that you enjoy. Do things that you remember. So, what do we expect of you? Well, the Lord has shown you what is good. Walk justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. If you do that, we'll be with you. Join us. Help us do all those things. God bless you. It's good to see you again.
Cindy, I'll give you mine when I'm done. I've already preached today, so it's only one piece of paper. So this is a charge to your congregation. So I won't look at you just yet. Hi, dear people of FCC. I am Becky Binns. I'm your Episcopalian neighbor from across the crosswalk. And I'm a huge fan of your pastor, who has finally decided to make her settled status with you official, year and a half in. Thanks be to God. Like you, I have had some time to get to know Cindy a little bit this past year and a half, and even just a little bit before that, as we ran into each other in a folk chorale that our friend Andy is in, and I got to sing with Cindy, so I celebrated greatly when I heard that she accepted your call. So we know her a bit already, right? We know that she is hilarious, and she will not leave you unamused any day that you are with her. We know she has a profoundly beautiful relationship with God and leads from that place of faith, and you can trust that. She doesn't have personal agendas. We know that she is organized with time and details, making sure that the microphone's in the right place and we stay on schedule. And even now, her clock-like brain is wondering how long it will take me to get to the part where I give you a charge instead of talking about her. So here it comes. Here's your charge. I charge you, FCC, to be a power station, a fueling station. Andy and I are singing Dar Williams right now in that group that Cindy and I got to sing in together. And in the great words of Dar Williams, everybody is a power station, and that is your charge. See what I did there? Be a power station. It's what we need so badly right now. You sit at the main intersection of our diverse, beautiful, big-hearted town, a perfect location for a fueling station. And people need fuel right now if they're going to keep on keeping on in these trying times. You need fuel right now if you're going to keep on keeping on in this ministry that you share with your pastor. So I charge you to go to church often. Fill your tank regularly. Recharge your battery or unplug, plug back in. Do all the metaphors about electricity that are already out there in this space. And then go back out there and do what God calls you to do and spread the love that filled your heart when you were here in this place with her. I charge you to allocate personal and communal resources to this wonderful fueling station. I charge you to go far in your ministries beyond this place, but return before your tank is empty or your battery is empty. You have found and entered into relationship with an amazing pastor. She is the best gas station attendant ever. As such, she is needed right here in her role at the fueling station of FCC. She cannot come with you for all of your adventures and ministries and ways in which God is calling each individual out into the world. She can't be on all of your projects and your road trips. She cannot repair your car, pack your road trip snacks, or be the Thelma to your Louise. Well, she could. She's kind of a superstar. She likes driving. But she can only be in one place at a time, and we don't want her driving off any cliffs. He said something about self-care, not cliffs. If you've seen Thelma and Louise, there's a cliff. Never. Okay, back on track. Back on the paper. All right. I charge you to understand her limitations and to be empowered to do all the ministry that you feel called to do without needing her to be in the car for all of it. But come here and see her every week. Cindy will be here, standing in the sun and rain with a wide-brimmed hat. Can you give her a wide-brimmed hat? Cindy likes visuals. You don't have to wear it right now if you don't, but you can. She'll be standing in the sun waiting to refuel your tank for your amazing work in the world. She will preach clarifying sermons that will help you to see the way forward more clearly, a bit of spiritual windshield washing, if you will. There's a windshield washer in that bag, Katie, on a plastic pole. Thank you. She will delight in your return from your work on your journeys in the world, listening for the bell at her door. And she will love it when you send her postcards. You can just give her the whole stack of blank postcards. She'll give them to people. Thank you, Katie, for helping. Someone might go to Pennsylvania. If you're going out there in the world to do your ministry, you come to her first. She'll give you a blank postcard. You'll write about everything you did and send it back to her, okay? As you go out in the world, sharing the expansive love of God, might be expensive too, write to her and tell her about it. The love that is poured into you while you are here in this fueling station is meant to be shared far and wide. Far and wide. And in partnership with Cindy and one another, you will do that. You have so much beautiful work to do. The world needs you to do it. Love and care for your gas station attendant, Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry. Refuel while you are together, and then go out there and light up this world. Amen.
All right, kids, this is the fun part. I will take one exception. We're not a gas station. We're putting solar panels on the roof here. This is the power station. Charging station. Whatever. Get a charge out of that. So this is. It says here presentation of gifts. I mean, I guess we'll count the hat and the squeegee and the things as part of it. But right now, we only have one gift right now that I know of. This is the only one I have. But there's more coming. We thought this was like an installment planned, you know, and we would just keep on giving. So it is. There's more coming, you know, because
installment.
You know, I'm terrible with the English language. I get confused sometimes. That just shows how much John knows. So Cindy, come on up. This is from the leadership of the church. It's also, I will also say, thanks to Becky and the Episcopal Church. This is from their sewing ministry. Is that what it is? Sewing ministry? Yes. So you can either open it here or open it at home.
I already know what it is. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, kids. Oh, that's cool. It's like the, okay. It's like Christmas lights here. Oh, here we go. Hold this, okay.
So this stall was made by the, what's the word I want? The textile artists at St. Paul's. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you. We good? Good to be home, even though you've no idea who I am. But it is good to be home. Hello, good to see you. I think Greg said it all, that we are called to gather. We are called to be the church. And in that call to gather, we have an extraordinary privilege. It is a privilege to give. And it is a privilege to give even when you don't feel you're in the position to give. It is even more of a privilege. So this afternoon, we'd like to ask you to dig deep, because today's offering will benefit the scholarship fund of the Central Mass Association. Those are the folks who are preparing for tomorrow's churches and ministries. Pray for them and give generously. If you wish to write a check, please make it out to FCC Natick, and note in the memo that it's for Central Mass Scholarship Fund, or else Cindy will cash it. No. I'm really kidding. Central Mass Scholarship Fund. So the afternoon offering will now be received.
and for the lightness of being that you will send these forth, these gifts out, to be with ministers in training, to be with those being ready for the next generation of this church, for the support of all ministry, and for gratitude for you and our love. We present these gifts to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is My Life Flows On. You're invited to Rockwell to stay.
Those of you in person are warmly invited following the benediction to join us through that doorway to head downstairs to the vestry. Now, I know on Sunday mornings a lot of you like to sneak out that way, but I am please asking you today, just today, come this way so I can just say hello and thank you to you. Beloved, go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.